Hi there, boys and girls. Welcome to the Children's Bible Club. Grab your cowboy hat and boots and head for the corral. We had so much fun with our rodeos and wranglers last week that we're going to stir it up again today. Maybe you could call your friend and tell them that the Bible Club is on so they can join us. You never know where we'll ride, so here's the choir to lead us out the gate. Thank you, choir, for that good message and song. Last time our story was about rodeos and wranglers and cowboy work. Maybe you thought Aunt Carolyn got off target a little bit. But hey, did you know there were cowboys in the Bible? Oh, they weren't called cowboys, but they did the same job, only in different ways. Did you know that Abraham had cattle? Lots of cattle. Genesis 13:8 tells us that he was very rich in cattle. Job also had many cattle. After the severe testing he went through, God gave him back much more stock than he had before. He had 1,000 yoke of oxen, so that's 2,000 head of cattle right there, not counting his other cattle and sheep and asses and camels and other animals. Also, Jacob's sons were herders. When Joseph brought them back down to Egypt to live, they were given the land of Goshen, where there would be plenty of grass for their herds. Years later, it must have been an amazing sight to see the children of Israel streaming out across the wilderness, not only with their families, but also with their thousands of flocks and herds on their way to the promised land. You see, the Israelites always had to be sure to have cattle and sheep. Yes, for food, but especially for sacrifice to the Lord. Now you know it took many men to watch after all those herds. No, they weren't called cowboys back then. They were called herdsmen. And they didn't wear boots and chaps and a tall Stetson hat. Men of the Mideast wore long robes, and their headdress was a large square scarf, sometimes called a guttura, and a black rope-like cord called an eagle, which held the guttura in place so it wouldn't fall off. And much of the time, their steeds were camels instead of horses. So stay with us. Today's story is about some modern-day cowhands. But first, here's the choir before story time.
Thank you.
Today's story is rustlers. Rodeos have always been a highlight in cattle country. The grand parade, stunt horses, the flashy western outfits, bull riding and bronco busting, all made for a real show. But the real wrangling was done by everyday cowboys in the everyday challenge of the work. Much of ranching has changed over the years. Nowadays, helicopters sometimes survey vast pasture lands, and ATVs drive herds instead of horses. Huge 18-wheel cattle trucks take cattle to market rather than men and animals enduring the strain of a long cattle drive to Dodge City or Kansas City or Chicago or other stockyard hubs. But basic cowboy duties, by necessity, haven't changed. In winter, feed and hay still must be hauled to the herd, and in spring, the herd hoofs it to the summer pasture on open range. In Kansas, where my home was, it was west to pasture in the sandhills and tall grass. Every cowboy had his own mount, and they rode to keep the herd together. It worked well until a rattlesnake spooked the cattle, or a maverick steer rebelled and a cowhand had to race to bring him back. Summer pasture meant freedom to roam for the cattle, but not for the cowhands. They still had to systematically ride pasture, making sure no section was missed, that no cows or calves were down or missing, that the windmills were pumping and that the water tanks were full. There was a long job of riding fences, too, to be sure there were no breaks in the barbed wire where cattle could break out. What an awful dread fell if the cowhands found a big break in the fence. It was every cattleman's nightmare. The men found not just a normal break or hole, but where fence cutters had obviously done their worst and a gaping space lay open. It was painfully clear what had happened. Rustlers had cut the fence. On the ground were the tire tracks where a big, heavy cattle truck had backed up into the pasture. The evidence was plain where the grass and dirt had been mangled and stirred as cattle had been herded into the truck. In the night, rustlers had done their dirty work. Under the cover of darkness, they had stolen and rolled out with thousands of dollars on the hoof, soon crossed state lines with their load, and sold their valuable cargo at a meat packing plant before it could be traced. Some folks may romanticize cattle wrangling, but for all its rewards, it wasn't all easy or pleasant work. Branding day was all important, and much preparation went into it. Vaccines and medications stood ready, fires burned hot, and the branding iron was at hand. New calves, born the previous winter, and new stock brought in, were herded to the corrals and pens, ready for their turn in the chute. Little did they know what lay ahead for them. No wonder some balked and fought when forced into the chute. But they couldn't win. No sooner was their head thrust through the stanchion than the rear gate slammed behind them. They were trapped with no escape. Immediately, a cowhand on one side slapped the big vaccine needle into their hip, while on the other side, the hot branding iron seared the fur and hide. The stench of burning hair and hide charged the air as the front gate of the chute was released and the bawling, terror-stricken steer bolted from the chute, trying to escape the burning pain. It wasn't fun or simple, but it had to be done. They were Dad's cattle, and now bore his brand. Wherever that steer or calf went, he bore Dad's Flying V brand. It was clear for all to see to whom he belonged. If he strayed from the pasture or got mixed with another herd, he was marked. He was still Dad's stock. In a way, that's what happens when a boy or girl trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. God puts his seal, his brand, on that child by giving him the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then lives within to lead and guide that child according to the Word of God. If you're a Christian, you're not your own to do what you please or go where you want, for you've been bought with a price. You belong to God and should do everything to please Him. Sad to say, sometimes that old rustler, the devil, may try to steal your love away from God with temptations to do wrong or go along with people who don't know the Lord and who may even mock God or make light of sin. Your only answer is to run to the safety of God's good pasture, feed upon the Word of God, and stay near the Lord Jesus Christ and His people. Paul understood what it meant to wear God's brand. He said, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." He stood true to Christ among friends and also in the face of persecution from religious enemies and government officials and multitudes who didn't know Christ. He suffered much for Christ's sake, but he was not ashamed of the gospel or of the marks he bore, for he remembered the Savior's sacrifice on the cross for his sin. He remembered the nail scars in the Lord's hands and feet and the slash mark where the soldier's sword pierced his side. You and I, too, should remember that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we should be willing to stand up for him, no matter the cost. We should willingly bear his name and wear his brand by his grace and for his name's sake. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." I wonder if you have believed on Jesus. If not, receive him as your Savior right now. Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And now, God bless you.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.